Our scripture lesson this morning continues in the gospel according to Mark. Fasten your seatbelts, ladies and gentlemen. Some Pharisees came, and to test Jesus, they asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" He answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." But Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate." Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about the matter. He said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. The word of God for the people of God.
Have you ever played a card game? My favorite is spades. And sometimes when I play spades, I'm dealt a hand that I wish I could throw in. And this is one of those passages that is like that deck of cards. It is a passage that as a pastor, when you get it, you want to throw it back immediately. And sometimes passages like this, we want to throw it back because it's complicated. And there are sometimes it's because of our own baggage that we bring with us to the passage. And now I like to say that as a pastor that I don't bring my baggage, but the truth is I'm human, and so I bring myself with it. And so I wrestled with this passage all week, and I have found that there is good news for us today. This passage is difficult for me in particular because I am a child of divorce. One of the last times that I preached, I talked about how my mom and my dad were in the Air Force. And they fell in love and met at McGuire Air Force Base. My dad was later stationed to the Philippines, and after they were married, my mom joined him there. But my mother and father had a tumultuous marriage. And so they separated for the first time when I was very young. But they continued to try and work things together. And they continued to try and work on their marriage, even reconciling again. That made us move to California. But on a good day, like I said, their marriage was toxic. And on a bad day, it was magmatic. Eventually, they had to make that very difficult decision to divorce. And from that time, my mom became a single parent, and my dad became a single man, and I got to witness firsthand the difficulties it is of being a single mom. It was rough, and I have no idea how she managed to do all of it, to take bus after bus to get to her job and somehow get me to my school on time. She often felt that there was a label placed upon her and a stain on her record for now becoming a divorced single mom. And we lived in West Philly. Well, that was because that was the most that a single mom could afford. And also because our family lived there, and so that would provide her some support. But see, my parents' story is not unique. Many share similar stories. There are people, some even in this room, who have been made to feel shameful, guilty, and or condemned. Some have wondered if their loved ones themselves and or friends are condemned because they had to make that very difficult decision to divorce. For those who had to make the decision to divorce, oftentimes the loudest voice of condemnation comes from within. Wondering if they could have done something more, if it was their fault, counting it as a failure or a weakness on their part. And I don't think that there's anyone in this room that doesn't know someone or have been directly impacted by divorce directly. But because of this societal shame that has been placed upon people of divorce, we often run away from such passages. We have wanted to run away thinking that Jesus might be yet another condemning voice. Well, let me assure you from the very beginning of this sermon, God is not condemning you. Oh, no, 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 not at all, my beloved. From the very beginning of this message, I want you to know that you, your family members, your loved ones, your friends, your neighbors, and everyone in this place and beyond this place is a beloved child of God. And if you need to say it to yourself, right here and right now, I want you to say it. I am a beloved child of God. Now, I love comedy, so now I want you to say it like Kevin Hart says. Say it with your chest, okay? Say it like you mean it. I am a beloved child of God. Now that we have said that, now we can begin to look at the passage. See, sometimes we have to say that because sometimes we need to say these things before so that we can hear God pass our own self-condemnation or the condemnation that comes to us from the world. So now we can separate those voices from God's voice so that we can hear the good news this morning. The parallel to this Mark passage can be found in Matthew chapter 19, verses 1 through 12. And the overall story is the same, but the question is slightly different. Our passage asks if divorce is legal, while the Matthew passage asks, on what cause can a man divorce his wife? So our passage this morning is having to do with the law. And you must understand that the hearers of this, what would really be more like an interrogation, would be very knowledgeable about the law. They would know that the question is rooted from Deuteronomy 24, verses 1 through 4, where it says that it talks about situations in which a man can write a certificate of divorce. And I say man because, for the most part, only men could give a divorce certificate. And it starts off by saying, suppose a man enters into marriage with a woman, but she does not please him because he finds something objectionable about her. And so he writes her a certificate of divorce, puts it in her hands, and sends her out of the house. And then it goes on to talk about what if she then marries someone else and then is given another certificate of divorce and so on and so forth. And so they are asking Jesus what he thinks about this law, and their hope is to try and entrap him because it is a hot topic. It would be equivalent to if someone today said to you, how did you vote in the 2020 election? That divisive. But let me set the scene for you a bit this morning. See, Jesus is preaching at the borders of Judea on the other side of the Jordan. This would be near where Jesus was baptized and would be led into the wilderness and tempted. The temptation in the wilderness was much like an interrogation to test Jesus on what his messianic mission would be. And similarly, so too is this interrogation that is led by the Pharisees or the leaders around. They were trying to determine Jesus's mission, so they tried to entrap him with a question about the law. But the real question at the heart is who should be blessed? The system that had been established had provided privileges, rights and blessings to only certain people. And their question really asked Jesus, well, then who will you bless? Are there people outside of the realm of blessing? To this, Jesus says, I will bless everyone, especially those that you say shouldn't be blessed. The vulnerable, the oppressed, the marginalized, because there are no borders to God's love. They were asking, are there times when it's okay to dismiss, send off, abuse, and leave others in need? And to this, the answer is no. In God's kingdom, in God's loving community, there is no hurt, pain, suffering, or need. It should be noted that the area where they were supposed to be was somewhat in a mountainous area. So they were somewhat in a high place. And so it seems ironic that they are in this high place and yet they are asking questions from below. Their question was limited. It was from the lens of being human and only being able to see in part. They were talking about the law and Jesus was pointing to relationship. They were talking borders and Jesus was talking about community. They were talking about orthodoxy or right thinking and Jesus was talking about orthocardia, the right heart. They were talking about human systems, and Jesus was talking about the kingdom. It is also important to note where Jesus is in his ministry. See, while Jesus was at the borders of Judea, Jerusalem was in sight. The cross, where he will make all things new, reconcile, redeem, and repair, are in sight. He had already begun to tell the disciples this reality. See, his death and resurrection were just in his grasp. And consistent with Jesus' ministry, while Jesus is looking to the kingdom, the people, the leaders, and even the disciples seem to miss it. We must understand that the women in this time were not viewed as equal partners, but as property of her husband. Marriages were often seen as transactional and for the purpose of wealth and status acquisition. It was not often built on the foundation of love and equality. As property, women could be disposed of for anything that was found objectionable or not pleasing. If she could not bear children, perform domestic tasks to her husband's liking, she could be kicked out of the home and left destitute. See, her rights and her freedoms were set and determined by her husband, so without them, she lost all of them. In divorce, she lost her reputation, her financial security, protection, and freedoms. A woman could not divorce her spouse, so women needed the system of marriage for security because without it, she was destitute, ostracized and dismissed and left to the side like garbage. She was the object of the action, and so she bore the brunt of the consequences of the actions of divorce. And this left as Jesus was on the margins, where all of the marginalized who were begging and ostracized were. He could see this and what the system had done. Not too long ago, I said the simplest understanding of the gospel is I see you, that God sees. To our ears, this passage seems like condemnation, but to the hearers at the margin at this time, it was good news. It was a blessing. It was good news to the women and children that had been impacted by the system. It said that I see your suffering. I see you. Now, it was not such good news to this patriarchal system. It was speaking truth to their power and their heart and hearts. So in this particular system, when Jesus said that he was not for the system of divorce, he was speaking for these women. Jesus was saying to these women and children, I see you, I know your name, you matter. I see you struggling, in pain and in need. See, divorce was already legal, so its legality is not really the question. Jesus speaks against this system that was leaving women destitute, begging for food and left to sell their bodies to make ends meet. Does this sound like the vision God has for God's beloved children? No. If you knew that this could be the life outcome of any of your children, it would break your heart. And remember that Jesus had been traveling from town to town and seeing suffering and the great deal of pain and need for healing. He saw their system of blessing that was only for the rich, the powerful, male, and of the right pedigree. And so Jesus comes and blesses all that were outside of this system and said, I will bless them. So this passage is not so much about divorce itself, since Jesus affirms Moses' command for it. Jesus just essentially says that none of this was a part of God's plan for community. But because of brokenness and because of hard-heartedness, became necessary. And I think that every divorced person can understand that. Because I'm sure that no one that got married planned for divorce. No one went to the courthouse or the church and did all that wedding planning, spent all that money for divorce to be the ultimate plan. And so it's not what the plan was, but or what you willed for when you took your vows, but sometimes we find that it had been necessary. So again, Jesus, though, goes deeper. Jesus is looking towards the kingdom of God. So our passage references the Genesis creation story. And before we go there, we have to remember that our God is triune. So within God's self is community. And the community within God's self is one of equity, freedom, and love. Love binds our triune God as one. And so when Genesis says, let us make humankind in our likeness, it suggests that humankind will reflect God's own image in community. We were created and designed to be in community together. When we are in community, then we reflect God. This is the heart of when it says, when two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. Whenever we are in community, there is God. Whenever there is community loving, especially seeing everyone equally blessed, heard, loved, and cared for, and being free to dance and praise and grow and love, there is God. This is the vision for all of creation. This is the kingdom of God. So when Jesus quotes Genesis and says that God made them male or female and the two became flesh, became one flesh, Jesus is not giving a referendum necessarily on gender roles and norms, but that humankind was designed to be in loving community. Marriage is one type of loving community. And as community, we become one in love. In loving community, there is no one in need, no one dismissed or cast away, left to beg, vulnerable or oppressed. Loving community sees all as beloved children of God and not less than, not beneath or outside of God's love. For Jesus, there is not a boundary, a border, law, doctrine, dogmas, brokenness, hard-heartedness that is higher than the cross. Nothing is higher than God's grace and love. And we can say that, oh, okay, so this is really a particular situation at this time. But the truth is that women continue to be marginalized and so do children. They continue to be marginalized and vulnerable. This is not saying that men do not suffer or that they do not face hardships during divorce. It's true. Everyone does. Men do. And I want you to know that I see you too. But I'm pointing out that our system is still patriarchal. And because of this, women and children remain vulnerable. And through this pandemic, we have gotten to see just how vulnerable these communities are. Women have disproportionately been impacted and made more vulnerable, having to leave workforces altogether and figure out how to juggle it all, and especially single moms. Studies conducted by the NIH found that women today are still impacted greatly by divorce. Women experience disproportionate declines in household income and standards of living, as well as sharp increases in risk of poverty. Women may also face a higher risk of losing home ownership and falling down the housing ladder. So women continue to be marginalized. And to this passage proclaims good news, that the kingdom of God is at hand. And we are invited to be part of God's redemptive story. Through the transformation of the Holy Spirit, we can create loving communities that protect the vulnerable and protest and raise our voices for the powerless, that opens our ears and our hearts to learn about systems that leave particularly women and children vulnerable, that partners with organizations that help victims of domestic violence like Jewels of Hope. And let us continue to find partnerships with organizations that are lifting up the vulnerable, such as women and children. After talking about divorce, Jesus invites the children. And now this seems like these are two things that don't go together. How do we go to this whole discussion on divorce and then the children are invited to come up? It seems like it doesn't go together. But actually it does, because it confirms what is happening in the passage above. Jesus says, "Let the children come to me and do not stop them, for it is such as these that the kingdom of God belongs." This comes after the disciples were speaking sternly to them. So Jesus says, "Let there be nothing that prevents the vulnerable from coming to me, because the kingdom of God welcomes and has a place for them. Let there be nothing that stops, dismisses, and sends away the vulnerable. Let not our traditions, our rituals, our doctrines, our laws, our political parties, our need for legalism, and anything hinder and or create systems that leave people vulnerable. We, the church, are to welcome and bless the vulnerable. Let us hold nothing higher than the cross. Let nothing stand in the way of others getting the good news. So for every person who has had to make the difficult decision to divorce, please know that you are beloved. You are not condemned, dismissed, or cast out. No. Not as a beloved child of God. You are loved, set free, and there's a place in the kingdom for you. And for all of us children of divorce, we are loved. It's not our fault, and there is a place in the kingdom for us. There is a place here at this, in this beautiful community, for all of us. There is a loving community right here. So the Lord has opened his arms, laid his hands upon us, and blessed us. Thanks be to God.